This morning's parable, taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, is without a doubt a very popular and well-known parable. In fact, it's become so popular that it's been talked about and passed on so much so that I don't think it's that big to say that even the majority of non-Christians are aware of it. This parable of the Good Samaritan. And likewise, for anybody that has taken the time to read Holy Scripture, and I should hope that all of you here do so, the words of Christ that conclude this morning's Gospel should be very familiar. And what does Christ say? Do you all remember what Father's last words were as he read the Gospel? What did he say? Go and do thou likewise. This single command resonates throughout all of Scripture, from Abraham to Moses to the prophets to the apostles. God is constantly calling His people to do two things. Go and do. It's a simple and very basic command. There's nothing particularly difficult about those words, are there? The command doesn't come with a list of intellectual prerequisites. This isn't molecular biology or physics. It does not demand that we be of a certain build physically, nor does it always entail that we use words, does it? We are simply called to go and do. Now, there are a number of ways for us to look at this morning's parable, the most obvious being to care for those that are in need of our help. And indeed, we should make every effort to extend a hand to the sick, to those that are hungry, even those that we see on the side of the road and in the alleys, who have been beaten and abused by the cruelty of this worldly life. So, don't mistake me and think that I am in any way minimizing this very vital ministry. It is a necessary one for the church. We are called to do just that. But I want us to look at this parable from another dimension. And while the theme remains the same, this idea of caring for one another, the subjects of our compassion have changed a bit. Christ says at the beginning of this morning's Gospel, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." You know what comes to my mind when I hear these words? Perhaps I should repeat them. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. You know what I see? I see the church. I see the sacraments. I see the tabernacle upon the altar that houses the precious body and blood of Christ. I hear the songs of heavenly voices being lifted up to God. I see you. I see me. What we are doing right here and right now. We not only see and hear, but we are active participants in the holy mysteries of the church. Do we not count ourselves blessed that Christ has so lovingly opened up the doors of His church to us? We who see and hear the eternal mysteries of the church, blessed are you that see and hear, Christ tells us. For there are many who desire to see and hear these things, but cannot. But why is that? Surely we know the reason on one hand. The prophets were not around to witness the miracles that Christ performed because they were called to prepare the world for His holy coming. And in a different vein, kings would have thrown away fortunes to witness the miracles of Christ, but only as a means of entertainment, not for the intention of believing in Him. But what does the question have to do with us? Why have so few seen what we see and hear what we have heard? The answer is very simple. We have neglected to truly minister to them and invite them. This past week, I, as many of you are aware by now, was at Antiochian Village to complete my first year of residency for the St. Stephen's program in Orthodox theology. And I never thought something could be as wonderful and as enlightening on one hand, and yet as intellectually taxing and draining in the other. Classes would sometimes run until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Sometimes I wouldn't go to bed until 1:30 in the morning, and all to wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock that same day to do it all over again. That said, I wouldn't change a thing. It was a completely holy time, and I am indebted to God for allowing me to be a small part of it. And as we were celebrating the Divine Liturgy on Friday morning, right before all of us students would be departing for home and returning to our parishes, Bishop Thomas charged us with a question during his homily. The question being, now that you have been given much in terms of education and preparation, what are you prepared to do about it? What are you prepared to do? To me, that question and the response to go and do likewise go together. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Luke chapter 12. Take a good look around our little church. Look at the icons. Look at the altar. The candles. The golden tabernacle. The stations of our Lord. Our Lord's passion on the walls. The books in front or to the side of you. The Bible. God's holy word being one of them. Ponder the Eucharist. The precious body and blood of our Lord given for each of us. Call to mind the blessed sacraments. The next time you hear them, really listen to the voices in the choir as they sing praises unto our God. And lastly, look at each other. Do you all understand what I'm getting at? Are you beginning to see it? Just how rich we are. All of us. We all have been given much by our Lord. Much more than most of the world has gotten and continues to get. While we are partaking of heavenly food, most of the people in the world are feeding themselves garbage, which consequently leaves us with a lot of malnourished people. Towards the beginning of this morning's homily, I asked us to view the parable of the Good Samaritan in a bit of a different light. We now live in a neo-pagan culture where the religion of the day is the religion of I, the religion of the self. And how is that working out for most of the world? I don't know about you, but I see a world that is spiritually sick, broken, and destitute. Most of the people I see these days are just like that man that fell among the thieves in this morning's gospel. People are hurt. People are broken. They are spiritually poor. And it honestly breaks my heart. And it should break yours. But what hurts even more is knowing that I haven't made every opportunity to help them. We stand so close to the throne room of God every time we celebrate the divine liturgy. And yet most of the people in our community are completely oblivious to it. We need to do a much better job of getting the word out. That's the only way we're going to make a difference and grow our little mission. We must use every opportunity to show the world that we care about them and that we love them. We must follow the example of the Samaritan and go and do likewise. And what was it that he did? The passage tells us that first, he had compassion on the man. He loved him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. In other words, my friends, the Samaritan loved him. There was no other motive than that. He didn't help the man because he thought he'd be given a reward of money or make a name for himself, but he loved him, though he was a stranger. He took care of the man and provided him with everything that was necessary for him to make a complete recovery. The Samaritan saw the man, the potential to be healed. This world may be sick, but it is far from hopeless. We have been given the means to make it better. We, the church, possess that holy medicine. It's time for us to see God's potential in everyone and open the doors of our hearts so that they too may be healed in Christ. And when the time comes for you to extend a hand, and it will not be long before the opportunity arises, don't be overwhelmed by what to say or do, but trust in the Holy Spirit to guide you. As this morning's epistle reads, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us ministers to the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The onus is not on us. It's on God. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, says Paul. Therefore, if Christ lives inside you, He will equip you with everything you need to say and do. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy to do the Lord's work. Use whatever strengths He has given you, and you all possess them in some unique way, to go out into the world and minister to it. Go and do. If we don't speak and care for these people, then who else will? And as a result, if we take the opposite approach, if we don't go to these people, how will we be judged when our Lord asks us to give an account for our lives? Remember, you have been given much, and much is required. Therefore, go and do. Go forth and preach Christ. Preach His holy resurrection. Tell the world that He lives. Let us be like the Good Samaritan and go and preach the gospel of Christ to the ends of the world, following the words of our most gracious Master, who tells us yesterday, today, and forever and ever to go forth and do likewise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.